right, let's be turning in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. We're working our way through the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're in a unit from 6 to 18 that we're going to call the Great Tribulation. And we'll get into better things for us to come later on when we get to chapter 19. But Revelation chapter 8, 1 through 13. Let me review for you. We've been looking at the seal judgments. And these judgments are sequential, divine judgments, which span the entire tribulation period, 7 years. The trumpet and the bowl judgments flow out of the seventh seal judgment that we're going to look at tonight. And it's very brief. The seal is opened, then you begin the trumpet judgments. And these seven seal judgments, you need to remember this, parallel our Lord's teaching in Matthew 24. They are the birth pains leading up to judgment. And like Matthew 24, these will increase in intensity and frequency as we get closer to the Lord's return. The first seal, remember, was the Antichrist and the false peace. The second seal was war. Third seal was famine. Fourth seal was death. Fifth seal was martyrdom. And the sixth seal we looked at last week was the wrath of the Lamb. Now, we're through with the interlude. In chapter 6 and 7, there was an interlude of judgment, kind of give John a breath and encouragement and showing us what's happening on heaven while they're down here tribulating, you know, if that's a word. We're in heaven. We're not tribulating. And so the question was asked in chapter 6, verse 17, who can stand the wrath of the Lamb? And we saw that in chapter 7, it was the 144,000 that were sealed till God got through with them. Now, as we get here to chapter 8, we see the seventh seal. And once it's opened, the book is fully open. The seventh seal judgment, just like a Roman document. And this was none other than the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he was the one that was qualified to open it up, remember? And some call it the title deed of the earth. And anyway, it holds all the prophecies that we're going to be looking at in chapter 6 through chapter 18. And that's why there was great weeping in heaven, remember? Who can be found worthy to open up the seven seal scroll? Because we definitely want God's plan completed, you know? And that last seal was opened. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shared this with you before, and we need to reiterate it, that many people are deceived. It is not Satan bringing these judgments. It's God himself on Christ rejectors in Israel for rejecting the Messiah and purging this earth for the millennial kingdom, 1,000-year reign. So tonight we notice the opening of the seventh seal, and we're going to look at the first four of seven trumpet judgments. And they're called trumpets judgments because the angels blow the trumpet. And there's no way related to the trumpet at the rapture of the church. They're totally different trumpets. So let's look, first of all, I think you see it on your screen. My last little point there was about to run off screen, wasn't it? Goes too far, we'll baptize it and get saved, amen? But let's look at the opening of the seventh seal. In verses 1 through 5, notice what the text says, chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, that's being Christ, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. Now this another angel means one of the same kind. That's important in a minute. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angels took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. Now, here we see, first of all, silent awe, if you will, in verse 1. For a span of 30 minutes, there was silence in heaven after the seventh seal was opened. Now, we know the jokes, right? This is proof that there's no women in heaven. You know, that's what they say. But I don't agree with that. But there was silence in heaven. If you want to blame somebody for that, Brother Larry keeps bringing that up to me. Okay. But there was silence in heaven for 30 minutes. This silence, can't you imagine that? Now, let me go ahead and tell you up front. In heaven, there's no time. Right? So to John, it seemed like 30 minutes. And heaven doesn't operate on time. And this is the... all the worship, all the cries, all the amen cease here, and there was silence for 30 minutes. Great expectancy. Thank you, John. You got it in before Inez and Wanda did. But there was great expectancy in heaven. By the way, her name is not Inez. Her name is Nez. Okay? Nezzy. You're Nezzy, and that's Tricia over there. And I'm Kenny. So there's silence, great expectation of the opening of the worst of the last of the seals. It gets worse. It's kind of like the stillness in the eye of a hurricane. If you lived in Miami like I have before, I was in the eye of Donna that came by down there in Hollywood. And Ben and Carol have been in hurricanes. And they tell you not to go outside when the eye passes because the backside of it, which is worse, is about to hit too. And so it's kind of like that, and something with great finality is about to happen. You know, there's this, when all the worship ceases in heaven, you know something's bad's fixing to happen, right? And so we view these judgments as successive. The trumpet judgments came out of the seventh seal, and the bowl judgments followed very quickly. Notice that in verse 1 again. He opened the seventh seal. And then you begin in verse 2, we're going to begin to look at the first four trumpet judgments. Notice the seven angels in verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them were given seven trumpets. Go down to verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. As we look at these seven angels, we see their relationship, first of all. Here we have seven angels in the presence of God. They are a distinct group. Now, some try to make them out. I heard a guy, I listened to a guy's teaching this past week on this, and try to make them out to be seven archangels. But there's only one archangel mentioned in the Bible, and that's Michael. And these are not archangels. I mean, it's not even in the text. Charles Ryrie says, with the mention of these angels, no further mention is made of the seven spirits of God, which further indicates their special relationship to God and his purposes. MacArthur says, the use of the definite article sets them apart as a distinct group. They are called by many the presence angels. The word stand in the perfect tense, meaning they were in the presence of something. These could be an order of high-ranking angels, of which Gabriel could be one of them. Luke chapter 1, verse 19. And Gabriel's not mentioned as an archangel, but he's a strong angel. And then we see their responsibility in verse 6. Notice chapter 8. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. They were responsible for sounding the trumpet at the releasing of each of these seven judgments that are going to be more severe than the seal judgments, and following them is going to be seven severe bowl judgments. And then we see the special angel in verses 3-5. And he said, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire on the altar and cast it to the earth. And there were great voices and thunderings and lightnings and a great earthquake. Now, who is this special angel? Well, some see him as Christ, our high priest. But this is unlikely because it says he's another angel, just like the other ones. And that means one of the same kind there in the Greek. He's identified, Jesus is always identified as the Lamb of God. Nowhere in the New Testament is he identified as the angel of the Lord. Now, he is identified like that in the Old Testament. And besides this, again, the word another means one like the other seven. So it's not Christ, okay? And it goes on, let me read you here what I found out about this. He offers the prayers of the saints. Now, we got to pause right here. Who are the prayers of the saints? Who have been looking at in chapter 6, saying, how long, O Lord, before your vengeance comes? I believe the prayers of the saints here are those that are around the throne that have been martyred or are waiting for vengeance and vindication. Here it's not all the prayers of all the church age. This, I believe in its context, these are the prayers of those that are in his presence right then. And he offers up the prayers of the saints with incense of a censer or fire pan. And here we see earthly temples counterpart in heaven. Now, in other words, it's called an antitype. Twice daily, the priest would take hot coals from the brazen altar and take them to the incense altar near the holy place. The incense was ignited and the prayers of the saints would rise up to heaven. Now again, who are these saints that are mentioned here? This could be the martyred saints, prayers of all the saints praying for the outpouring of God's wrath upon the earth. It could be the prayers of all saints of all time, could be praying for the coming kingdom. But I think in this context, he's talking about those martyred saints. Again, the writer I got this from, I can't remember who it was, I didn't note it here. The former is preferred. It's the prayers of those that are around the throne of God. Their prayers are about to be answered as seen in the fire being thrown to earth instead of the incense altar. So prayers ascend up and judgment descends down in verse 5. The angel filled the censer with fire in the altar and cast it to the earth. And there follows a preview of judgment signaling the angels blowing their trumpets. So we see the seventh seal is open in verses 1 through 5. Now let's begin to look at these seven seals. We're going to look at four tonight. And by the way, these trumpet judgments run parallel with Matthew 24, but they also, if you did a deeper study, would run parallel with the plagues in Egypt and coming about. And then some people make these seven trumpets, what they call personify them and make them be events or people that are happening in world history. These things are not really a judgment on the sea or a judgment on the land. It's symbolic of something else happening. And that's when you get into trouble when you don't interpret Scripture in its literal sense. Someone said, when the plain sense makes good sense, seek no other sense. And so it's very plain that these judgments are upon the elements in God's creation. Look at the first trumpet in verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. You know, this is why we know that all this did not get fulfilled in the first century. This is yet future. I doubt you have seen hail and fire mingle with blood, right? If you have, then you must be God, right? We haven't seen that, have we? And so it says in verse 7, mingle with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So this is a judgment on the trees, on the grass. Some people believe that the grass and the trees here and all this is symbolic of nations and leaders and peoples. They allegorize the Scripture and make them say something it doesn't say, right? And again, we interpret Scripture plainly and naturally as it's stated. So this is judgment on the vegetation of the world. Now let's look at the second trumpet in verses 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Let me go ahead and say this. Everybody, all these people, man, they scaring you to death and all this about asteroids coming, going to blow the planet off its orbit and they're going to destroy. No, this is when it's going to happen. You're already in heaven, okay? It's not going to happen then. And a third part of the sea became blood. So this is a judgment on sea creatures and ships. Look at the third judgment, and we're moving quickly. Look in verses 10 and 11, the third trumpet. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men die of the waters because they were bitter. So you see here a judgment on the fresh water on the earth. And this plant, the star, there was a plant in Palestine called wormwood that was a very bitter taste. And it says that this is called wormwood. It's interesting to note, I found this out from another preacher, that word wormwood is the same word, meaning, remember when the nuclear plant leaked in Russia, Chernobyl? Chernobyl means wormwood, wormwood. And so, you know, hey, we're seeing prophecy beginning, you know, preliminary things of prophecy coming. Now let's look at the fourth trumpet in verses 12 through 13. In chapter 8. And the name of the, verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as a third part of them were darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and night likewise. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Speaking of the three judgments yet to come, they're worse. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet and of the three angels which are yet to sound. Here we see the judgment on the sun and the moon and the stars and the day-night cycle. Now, notice what it says there in verse 12 and 13. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Some Bible interpreters say it means the 24-hour cycle reduced to 16 hours, or that the output of these was reduced by one-third. Take whichever interpretation you want to take. But my point is, I want you to notice the word angel in verse 13. And I beheld, and there was an angel flying through the midst of heaven. Go back to verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Oh, now I got the wrong one. Anyway, it's interesting. People that are smarter than I am, that the word angel there in the Greek, in this particular instance, means an eagle or a vulture. And that's significant for what's about to happen. The imagery is of a bird of prey rushing to consume its victim. God's judgment is coming to its finality. And the last three trumpets here in the text are called woe, 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 because of their awfulness. And it's repeated three times for their intensity and devastation. And three more woes are yet to come. They're trumpet judgments, but they're woe judgments. You know, these are going to be severe, and they're going to be even more great woes as we go through the book of Revelation. So anybody that is what we call an amillennialist, who believes that this is all an allegory, it's all symbolic of something else, is badly mistaken, because these events were not fulfilled in the first century. Some people are what we call preterists. They think it's Revelation is not for the future. It happened in the first century church. But I don't know. I doubt any of them saw any of these judgments, you know, right? These are yet to come. And one of the last woe we'll see later, the seven bowl judgments, happens right before the return of Christ. So you got seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, and then the last trumpet judgment is right before the return of Christ at the second coming of Christ in Revelation 19. And we'll look at that. And by the way, not only do they get more frequent and more severe, but they get, what's the word I'm looking for? There's less time in between them, you know. They're rapid fire. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. So this is a terrible time on those who don't know the Lord, who reject him in this lifetime. And they never heard the gospel. They reject him in the tribulation. They're going to go through this. And they take the mark of the beast. They're going through this. And many will be martyred because they didn't take the mark of the beast. And those are the tribulation saints that are around the throne. And so it's just a terrible time, you know. And next week we're going to finish the last three that we're going to look at in these trumpet judgments before we get into the bowl judgments. And by the way, it's a long way to Revelation 18, so we're going to have more respites, more breaks and interludes when he shows us what's happening in heaven. So we're going to go back and forth in John's visions here that he got from the angel. And we're going to see how it works out, okay? All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Father, tonight, as our musicians come, what a terrible time upon the earth. People today who see a whimsical grandfather-type God who says, oh, he's love, everybody's going to heaven, everybody's going to see a light. Lord, you're also a God of wrath. And you have provided one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. People say, I don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. No, because of our sin and being separated from God and dead, God sent a Savior. It's not his fault if people don't believe. So men send their own selves to hell by rejecting the only way of salvation. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's not right with you. Oh, yeah. They come to church, they do this, they do that. But they don't have a personal relationship. They never confess Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. They had never followed him as a follower of Christ. Know of him, yes, but they don't worship and serve him. So Father, tonight the altar is open. Whatever needs to come, I beg and plead as a preacher tonight of the gospel that you don't have to go through these things. These things are not for you if you come to Christ. And so we ask you tonight to bow your knee, humble yourself before the Almighty God, confess your sins, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, have your way, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right.